Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And a very good morning to you, my dear friends, and welcome once again to Adventist World Radio SID Media's Conversation Space. This is the Study Hour, and as always, we jump into our discussions, trying to delve deeper into God's Word. Today, in our Make It Practical segment, we're starting a new week, therefore it's a new theme, the Good Samaritan. Yep, we're trying to discover our neighborliness, and we want to find out the question behind the question as we begin. Pastor Sandy Marandure will be joining us this week as he helps us make sense of what this parable is all about. Now this week, we're going to be focusing on one of the most famous, yet perhaps the most misunderstood stories of Jesus, right? The Good Samaritan. Today, we often use that phrase to describe a random act of kindness. When you do something good, you say you were the Good Samaritan. But is that what Jesus meant, right? When Jesus told the story, it was a shocking, subversive, and designed to turn the religious world upside down. It begins not with a stranger in need, but with an expert in the law trying to justify himself by defining who he doesn't have to love. In this first part, we look at the context of Luke chapter 10, the face value questions, and why the lawyer felt the need to ask, who is my neighbor? Joining us in conversation, like I said, Pastor Marandure, good morning to you, sir, and welcome to our study.
A very good morning, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Trusting that we find you well.
Very much okay, by God's grace.
Hallelujah.
Thank him. We actually say it's a day at a time, sweet Jesus.
So oh, that's yes. Where we are. Yes, indeed. At a time. And thanking him for his mercy is something we ought to be doing because they are new every morning. Felicity, we want to appreciate you for joining us to study with us this lesson, going deeper to unpack what Luke 10's parable on the Good Samaritan is all about. And today we want to start off by saying context matters. Context is key. So walk us through, please, the interaction that happens in Luke chapter 10, especially from verses 25 on, where Christ is addressing the issue of the Good Samaritan. But the preamble is a lawyer who is apparently testing Jesus. Talk to us about that.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much for that. Oh, yes. So we are meeting a lawyer who is part of a congregation or part of people that are gathered about Jesus as he is teaching. And we also must get an appreciation that by now Jesus had earned himself a title that he was a rabbi or a teacher. And, you know, people in that time, the Jews, everyone there around, they were mesmerized by the way how he would articulate things that were of eternal value, knowing his background to be the carpenter's son who had not been to any formal recognized theological seminary. And now everyone is saying, Rabbi. Jesus himself did not say, I'm the rabbi. But people then will say, he's a rabbi because I am picking up from what he would be delivering time and again. So now this lawyer, you know, the Bible, the NIV says, an expert in law, come. He was part of the gathering there, and he's like, ah, man, this guy is speaking deep in these things. So let me try to test him.
Yeah.
The Bible actually says he wanted to test him. And now being a lawyer, of course, we know these people are sharp-minded. So he brings a question now. The question had nothing to do with where the whole conversation ended up. He wanted to know what he was supposed to do so that he can enter the kingdom of heaven. So now this one was about salvation, and this one was about gaining an entrance into heaven, and he wanted to know. But now, since it was a test, perchance there was going to be a follow-up question, which now Jesus, being Jesus in his wisdom, he saw where this thing was going. And he had to start from where this whole conversation was going, was heading to. And then Jesus now is say, okay, fine. Yeah, I hear your question, but I'm not going to answer your question directly. Let's go to where you are heading to. And he's saying, by the way, do you have time? I mean, you spare time to read the law. Now, of course, he's speaking to the lawyer, so he's now referring the lawyer to the lawyer.
Okay. You have some
time to. But if this guy was a mechanic or a carpenter, maybe he could have asked something along that profession. But being a lawyer now, he's saying, now let's talk about law. Where, let's come to the field where you understand things better. Do you have time to read and study the law? I mean, this question was somehow sarcastic. Yeah. How can you ask? Then says, okay, I read the law. And what does it say about your neighbor loving God? And no, yeah, from the law, you know, we should love God. Was actually Jesus asking, so how readest thou? How do you interpret the law as far as concerned? Like, so the Bible says, love God, love your neighbor, you know, all these things. Then Jesus was like, fine, if you know these things, then you're good to go. Go do those things, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
And then he had to minify, trying to narrow it now, coming to where he wanted to. Tell me now, who is my neighbor? That's now where we have now the whole Good Samaritan story coming into the picture now.
What was the objective, though? Why was this lawyer trying to tempt Jesus, as the King James would say, or test him like the interpretation would put across properly? What was he trying to gain? Was he just trying to show himself smarter, or there was something a bit more?
Okay, the lawyer was trying to justify himself. The lawyer was trying to find some comfort, trying to find some peace within himself, because he was not ready to love anyone who was not Jewish. He was not willing. And then he's trying to push Jesus into a corner where then Jesus will say, as you know, we are supposed to be loving each other as Jews. And anyone outside of the Jewish bracket is not worthy of our love. It's not worthy of our love. And by so doing, then they'll say, okay, fine, he is our Messiah. But you see now, the reason why he brought that question, it was because Jesus was interacting beyond the Jewish nation. He was interacting beyond the Jewish nation. And also then they had some problems, because they considered other people as not people and themselves as people. So by also indicating that he can extend and go beyond the Jewish parameters, then they would have a problem with Jesus. But now this lawyer wanted the comfort of saying, and the justification, say, okay, fine, what I'm doing, I'm correct. I'm
even
doing
Jesus
what
says,
well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm smart. I'm clean. Everything's fine. I'm loving Jews. Just Jesus has also reiterated and cemented. That was him, and that was where he was coming from.
These breaks, Maruti, that you're pointing out to say they didn't consider anyone who's not Jewish to be a person and therefore not a neighbor. What was this only based on other cultures? Because I'm thinking here that the Samaritans that they are looking at, weren't these their cousins? Was it something that was just for any other specific people group, or was it even a tribal issue looking at these being their cousins from the other 10 tribes?
The Samaritans were their cousins. But you see now this mentality of saying, whilst these are our cousins, but they left the pride, they left the family circle. Yeah. They are more like a people disowned. They no longer have a role or any participation or any inheritance in what we do now. So we are now the remnant. Come on, now the remnant. So everyone else out of us can never and cannot be saved. So this was the appreciation that they had from them, because they say, no, it's us who still remain in the image of David, So we are still moving. These ones are now offshoots. These are a new light. Come on, speak now language.
I hear you dropping the jargon there, Muruti. You are loud and clear.
Oh, yeah.
We do that.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, as I'm dropping these few lines, I'm simply trying to make us to wake up to this call to say, no. We are not the only ones who deserve to be the children of God. Mm-hmm. We are not the only ones who deserve the love, all the attention, and all these things. Everyone created in the image of God is a child of God, just as I am.
Mm-hmm. Just as we are, indeed. Thank you so much for that, Mfundisi. Pastor, I want to follow this up with understanding the setting of our story. When you look at the placing of where the story happens, there's a road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's traveling on this. It's a notorious road, known to be dangerous, known to be prone to these kind of issues happening, robbers falling upon unwary travelers. Is there any significance that we can draw, any symbolic nature or atmosphere that we can draw from the setting of the story? Anything that we can also learn from application of our own sentiments in our territories today?
It is very true that we have something that we can pick from that. Yes, in as much as it was a trade route, in as much as it was a road that connected some places, yes, we hear this guy was coming from where he was coming from, and he was going to where he was going, of course, to Jericho, like what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And the circumstances that also attended him were beyond his control, because he had no option, but I believe he was going to do whatever he was going to do to fend for his family.
Yeah,
it is very possible also in this life, when we are with good intentions, that we can also perchance succumb to bad energy, things that are not so good. It is very possible. And again, you will notice that it's not only him who had this unfortunate circumstance or situation or end to his day, but you know, the same road was used even by the clergy. You know, the clergy used the same road. It's unfortunate that they were not there, or they were a bit late. Mm-hmm. It could have been them being talked about. It
True.
Could have been being talked about, but they were just a bit late. And also, we get to learn a lot. You know, when a brother is in a situation which is very uncomfortable and not so good situation, let us not be quick to judge and say, "But why did he choose that road alone? But why did he choose to use that road? Why didn't he want?" You know, it could have been me. It could have been me. Mm-hmm. That's what we should know. When a neighbor who is not an Adventist and has lost a child, has lost a husband, has lost a wife, I tell you, we rarely go and console with our neighbors in the neighborhood. Yeah, maybe we'll just go there, just maybe once, just say, "Ah, very sorry," and then we disappear. But we are supposed to be there, even financially, and say, "Is everything okay? Let's do all that we can." The reason is, it could have been me, because we are in the same neighborhood. We are in the same neighborhood. You know, at times we are so quick to judge when we read in the newspaper and we hear of a people who are struggling with drug addicts, and these are their children, and we quick to judge. Oh, come on, man! It's because they didn't take them to Adventist schools, or it's because not like that. The circumstance, the atmosphere where we are all, it's so bad, it's so toxic. It could have been me. It could have been my child.
Yeah.
It could have been my husband. Let us just know. Let's learn to sympathize with each other. Just knowing that it could have been me, and if it was me, I would have wanted someone to come for me.
You know, and the other thing I'm realizing as well, Muruti, is we make it seem as though, yes, the times are terrible. These are the last days after all. But we make it seem as though this issue of robbers falling on people is a new thing, because people don't want to be good Samaritans today, because we say, if I stop to help this one who has just been attacked, what if they also attack me? And that's the very same thing that happened years ago in Jesus's parable. It was exactly that, because people who are passing by were like, this is a dangerous road. If this man has stopped to help them, what will happen to me? And we've got this self-preservation mentality, whereas, hey, God is still calling us. Is that something that he expects us to do, or that's for the parables only? To be good Samaritans?
No, it's not for parables. It's not for parables only. I'll tell you something. Mm-hmm. The Good Samaritan was a rich man. That one we should understand. He was very rich, mm-hmm. more than the pastor. He was rich more than the
prophet. So he had more to lose.
He had more to lose than these guys. Because he had a donkey. I tell you, these guys were walking, mm-hmm. and he had a donkey. And we are told that he had to use some oil and bandages. He had a first aid kit. These guys didn't have. And he took this man, placed him on his donkey, took him, checked him in and in. He had money enough to check someone in and in and pay the bills. So he had the money to pay the bills. So he had a lot to lose than these other guys. You know, at times we don't help people. Not because, but you know, there's someone who has a lot to lose who will come in the same situation.
Yeah.
When we are justifying whatever. Let me tell you something. Don't justify avoiding to do the will of God. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you do it with an open. Okay, if this effect, people are now evil out there. You see someone by the roadside, they have to break down, and you feel like, hey, it's so late, but let me help this person. Before you know it, you are also surrounded, you are attacked. It's so bad out there. I understand, I appreciate. But tell you what, if you've got a good heart and you've got good intentions and you pray about it, God will tell you, stop here.
Yeah.
Won't stop. Let's proceed. God will tell you. God will tell you, this one's a trap. And even if it's a trap, God has a way of paralyzing what he had been intended to do.
Amen.
Because you come with a good intention. Never give an excuse. Do what is good, and God will sort out the rest.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi Swami. Thank you so much. Mfundisi, I want us to wrap it up. When you consider this story, I'm reminded of a song. I think it's the group Higher Ground. Some young gentlemen who are based in London, I think that's where they were the last time I checked. And they sing a song titled Kumanya. And in the song, basically, they bring a concept that in heaven, though it is a race, the winner is not the one who gets there first. It's the one who gets there with others, right? The one who has the most on his team. And I want us to wrap up with that kind of a thought, to say, when you look at the story of the Good Samaritan, with the sentiments that the lawyer has been bringing up across, right? Thinking getting to heaven is about me knowing the law and me being the best I can be and being an expert in theology and knowing God and his ways. That's what gets to me. But it seems like Christ is saying, no. It's not just so much about what happens to you, but how you also treat it. Talk to us about how the story emphasizes this idea of impossibility of making it into salvation through self-justification and self-importance.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. So now this is where Jesus is bringing an emphasis. Say, listen, in as much as you love God, which is obvious that all of us, we love God.
Yes.
But now the more test is coming when now you have to love another person. This one is difficult. This one is difficult. And because we are not with the capacity to love a fellow human being, considering that other human beings, they've got challenges that we look into and we don't want to associate with those ones. So now I tell you, let me bring it this one a bit closer. If the Good Samaritan was riding on a donkey, and is not the Good Samaritan, the one who fell in the hands of these robbers.
Mm-hmm.
If he was riding on a donkey, if he was a well-to-do person who is well-known,
yeah,
I tell you, the doctors were going to stop.
Yeah, they're going to try and assist.
At any cost.
Yeah.
At any cost, they would not even mind their lives. They would help in at any cost. Why? Because they would know that once I've helped this person will be grateful and will do something in return for me. Now, this is where the problem is. It's easier for us to love someone when we will get something in return as a reward. Mm. But I like the mentality of the Good Samaritan. He's helping this person even though these people were not getting along. This is a Samaritan and he's helping a Jew. Mm. These people, they were not getting along. There was no way he would get a repay. Mm. And again, he was going to do so. There was nothing he wanted in return. Tell you what, we need to now to put some thinking and make it is cemented in us to say, I must help someone regardless of what I'll get in return.
Yeah.
I must help someone regardless, even if they will never come to join our church. We must reach out and help them. This is our serious challenge. We help people after that. We're expecting these same people to come to church and be baptized. No, let's help people even if they will never be baptized. Let's help people even if they will never give us a cent or even recognize that we once helped them. Let's show love. This is about love. Love that is going beyond. You see, Jesus himself, he came down from heaven to love us even if we're unlovable. Mm. We were not part of the heavenly family. Though Jews were there, but we were not part of, Jews were not even part of the heavenly family. Later on, this same love has been extended to us, even Gentiles. And we are all saying, our Father. We are all saying, he is our Father, in the same tone and also getting the same inheritance. May God help us to know that heaven is meant for the children of God. It's not meant for a tribe, for a people, for a tongue. There is no language superior. Fine, we're using English here because it's the current medium, means of communication that puts us globally. But tell you what, doesn't mean that in this language we are served better than in our native languages. We are God's children.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. We are God's children, and that is it. Indeed, what a way to open up our session, Mfundisi. This is going to be a power week. We can already tell. Thank you so much, Mfundisi, for expressing God's word so clearly and bringing out these lessons so poignantly. We want to just appreciate it. Until we chat again tomorrow, have yourself a marvelous day further.
Thank you so much, my brother. May God bless you and may God be with you. All the listeners, God bless you.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Mfundisi Marandure, there sharing with us on the importance of understanding the context of the Good Samaritan. So is it delve into the story itself, we can understand the question that was actually being asked by the questioner and not just the actual we heard the question that we heard there. So take time to go deeper into this subject and really address the heart of the problem, and you will be better appreciating what the story is all about. If you've got any thoughts and comments, don't hesitate to send your comments, your questions with us. To us, we want to hear from you. +27 73 470 3520.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.